president of the United States is not well. He is making decisions and making comments that literally have life and death implications for our country and for our armed forces. Let me show you something that he said just a couple of hours ago about the state of the war.
We're extremely, really a lot ahead of schedule. The Iranian regime is now admitting to itself that they have been decisively defeated. They're saying to people, this is a disaster. They know. That's why they're talking to us. They wouldn't talk otherwise. But they're talking to us because they've got a disaster on their hands. They're defeated. They can't make a comeback. We're free to roam over there, cities and towns, and destroy all of their crazy nuclear weapons and missiles and drones that they're building. And we're doing that. They now have a chance to make a deal, but that's up to them. And they'll tell you, we're not negotiating. We will not negotiate. Of course they're negotiating. They've been obliterated. Who wouldn't negotiate? They are begging to make a deal. We'll see if we can make the right deal. And if they make the right deal, then the strait will open up.
Okay, so to be specific and to reiterate some key points, Iran is obliterated. Their missiles and their drones are wiped out. That's what he said. And they are begging us to negotiate. That's what he said from the cabinet meeting, where the cabinet is meeting right now in the White House today. That's what he just said to the American people. Let me show you something else that was happening almost right at that time in Israel. And this is Trey Yingst, who was explaining what the situation was right now. And as you watch this, bear in mind that the President Trump specifically said that Iran is obliterated, they're begging for a negotiation, and their missile and drone forces have been wiped out.
Sirens are sounding right now in Tel Aviv. This is the 10th barrage of Iranian ballistic missiles today alone. And this missile fire is coming as President Trump is speaking at a cabinet meeting at the White House about the possibility of diplomacy. And so while the president is talking about the prospects of peace, the Iranians are still launching missiles toward Israel.
So now, how do you make those two things square, folks? How do you say, yes, they are obliterated, and you specify that their missile forces have been obliterated and they're begging us for a negotiated settlement when the 10th missile barrage of one day has been launched against Israel? And he went on there to say that there was alarms, sounds going off, alarms going off in other cities as he was speaking here. So that was literally just hours ago, probably less than 2 hours ago, the 10th one. Who knows what's going to happen after the sun goes down tonight? How many more rounds are there going to be? How much more physical evidence do you have to have before you acknowledge something is not right? It's one thing to be optimistic. It's one thing to be saying, hey, I'm going to put on a good face for some of this like this. So that's one thing. Even that can go too far. But it is a complete different thing when you are operating on different universes. You cannot continue to go forward and say, yes, we're going to have a negotiated settlement because they've been defeated and I'm declaring that they have no capability, while as you're speaking, the 10th round of missiles are falling on Israel. And I don't even have information about what else was going on in the region. I imagine there were probably other attacks elsewhere that were going on simultaneously as Iran demonstrates it is very much not defeated. They own the Strait of Hormuz. So they have basically held hostage a fifth of the world's oil supplies, gas supplies, and even higher percentages of urea and other things for fertilizer that are needed for agriculture all around the world. This is turning into a major, major problem. And the longer we go down not dealing with reality, the less chance we have to have any kind of success. And the evidence continues to pile up that President Trump already has and probably may even well have already given the order for a ground operation this weekend. And as I've said on multiple occasions here, there is no path for a military success on the ground. It's just sending them into near certain death. I mean, maybe they can scratch out something somewhere, wherever they're sent, whether that's Karg Island, the Qasim Island in the Bend of the Horseshoe, or somewhere else deeper inside of Iran. Maybe this was a feint and they're really going to go somewhere else. It doesn't matter. Wherever they end up going, they're going to run into a buzzsaw of whether that's personnel and This is also breaking news. Let me bring this up here. This was also about the same time President Trump was saying that, and that is from the Iranian side. And they said, not only do we have the viability that we've shown so far, but we're also bringing more troops in. More than 1 million fighters in Iran have been prepared for a ground battle in the U.S., says the news agency. Okay, you know what? Let's just assume that that's an exaggeration. Let's assume that they don't really have that many, that they haven't mobilized that many folks to go along with their active forces. Now, they have a lot. They had at least 500,000 active forces to defend their country within their within the cities and on the borders, et cetera. And we've known that they have about 1 million total reserves, whether that's the Basij, the Army, IRGC, et cetera. They have plenty of people that they can call up. So let's assume some number has, whatever the number is, 700,000-800,000 total force right now. That is more than enough to be able to continue to provide security within their country and to provide a major challenge to any land force that may come in there. And of course, the bigger challenge that we have is not even from any kind of army that they may bring to bear. That's actually a secondary or tertiary, possibly even. The missiles and the drones and long-range artillery, those are going to be the killers. And Iran has been showing, evidence shown up on the ground of some of these FPV drones that you see in the Russia-Ukraine war. The fiber optic drones have been seen now on the battlefield. Now, you take a landing of anywhere, no matter where it is, and some of these things have spools out 10, 15, sometimes even 30 or 40 kilometers. So they can fire on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz, wherever, especially if it's on Kashim Island, it's very close. Kargon's a little bit further, but then that still has range of nearly everything else Iran has. They can literally saturate anything we have. There may not even be a ground-on-ground force escape. I mean, a ground force discussion or a battle. This may just be through the air, and they've got plenty of it. Why would we want to send somebody into that when there's almost no chance that they can accomplish anything, even if they somehow seized something? And then the other thing he was talking about in that soundbite there was that that they're begging us for negotiations. You heard him say that. They are begging us to negotiate. And of course they want to negotiate, he said. Except here's what they are saying today.
At present, we have no intention of negotiating, and no negotiations have taken place. The fact that they are now talking about negotiations is, in itself, an admission of defeat. Were they not demanding unconditional surrender? So why are they now speaking about negotiations? I will explain this further, because there are no negotiations taking place. But the very fact that an enemy that was seeking our unconditional surrender is now talking about negotiations, requesting talks and mobilizing its highest officials to negotiate with the Islamic Republic, means accepting defeat. We want the war to end, but on our terms, in a way that ensures it will not be repeated.
And look, you heard him there talking about, why are they sending their highest level people? Well, there's a reason why the Iranian side said, we're not going to talk to Steve Witkoff or Jared Kushner. We want the vice president of the United States. It wasn't just because they don't trust Jared Kushner. They don't. But it was because they want the number two guy in the United States to be the one to negotiate a losing proposition. They want to add humiliation to the United States. That is why they want the vice president, J.D. Vance, not because they think he's a good negotiator or that, you know, he'll be able to give us something fair. They're not looking for something fair. They recognize they have the senior position here. Ironically, despite the fact that when you look at a spreadsheet and a balance sheet, America has overwhelming, massively more firepower and capabilities than the Iranian side, but it only matters how you use it. And right now, they're using their comparatively inferior capabilities to maximum benefit for their side, along with the terrain, the geography, and of course, just the circumstances that are around here and the fact that they're fighting from their home territory while we're fighting from thousands of miles away. So everything is in their favor right now, and there is literally nothing we can do to force the Strait of Hormuz open. We would have already done it by now. We're just about to reach the four-week mark of this. So I fear that we're about to make a big mistake. Now, listen, I don't know if President Trump is really something's cognitively wrong with him. I can speculate. I don't know. It could also be, as the news reported a couple of days ago, that he has shown these 2-minute montages of a bunch of stuff blowing up. And I have it on good authority from those who inside the administration who have knowledge that there are other briefings he gets. That's not the only thing he gets, even according to the news article there. But the question is, what does he retain? And, you know, President Trump is all about imagery. He's all about video. That's why he's always on social media. That's why he's watching television all the time. And if you're reading him what he might consider a long, boring intelligence brief, or you show him 2 minutes of a splice together, something that's all cool and it's all only on our side, what do you think he's going to retain? He may come to believe it, folks. He may believe that we're succeeding. He may believe that they're begging for negotiations. That's the problem. I don't know what it is, but what I can tell you conclusively, regardless of what it is, we have made a major, major strategic error here. And I don't know how we get out of this one. I don't even see a so-called chicken out kind of scenario here, or just declaring victory and walk away. I think that's been foreclosed. We've lost that chance now. So we're in a situation right now where, as of today, it's going to be extremely difficult to extract ourselves from this and anything that's not going to cause even more harm to our prestige and to our interest around the region. But we can make it profoundly worse if President Trump listens to any of these voices that are saying, you know what, you just got to go in there and hit them hard. You take something on the ground, Mr. President, that'll get their attention. You know there are people saying that. We've seen some reports about it in the press. Some in Israeli sources are apparently saying that from their side. It's not true. We've shown graphic evidence of why that's not the case, but we can only hope that President Trump, that somehow either sanity prevails, or somebody like Joe Kent, or somebody else who's still in the administration, and maybe that's J.D. Vance, maybe that's Tulsi Gabbard, I don't know. I hope that one of them can get in there, somebody that maybe it's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I don't care who it is, as long as it's somebody that's going to tell the president the truth. Do not do this. I don't care how much planning we've done, how far we are down there. If an order's been given already, turn it off. Nothing would be worse than letting the thing go on and letting inertia take over and launching some kind of an operation that will get lots of body bags and lots of Dover Air Force Base transfers. Nobody needs to see that, folks. Don't need a lot more of those caskets showing up, and especially if we have nothing but losses to show for it. That would make our position profoundly worse. Let's hope we don't get there, folks, because we don't need to. Thanks very much, and we'll see you on the next episode of Daniel Davis Deep Dive.